I want to talk today about forgiveness. And of course, that gospel was all about forgiveness. And you know, when you think about it, forgiveness is a remarkably sensitive area in many of our lives. Because the fact is, an awful lot of us have been very deeply hurt. And one of the most difficult and painful things to hear, let alone do, is this idea that somehow we are to forgive those who have hurt us. And in a way, it seems almost like a kind of cruelty, that maybe the Lord doesn't regard the fact that we've been hurt. Maybe he doesn't seem to care. He just tells us to forgive. And so I'm aware that there are, in any given gathering of human beings, some who have been very deeply hurt. And all of us have been hurt. And some who struggle to hear that they should forgive. And yet, the Lord says this. Now, a second introductory point I want to make is that forgiveness, as I hope to show, is not really your work that God says you go and do on your own unaided flesh power. But rather, forgiveness is something to receive from God, a gift that sets us free from anger, from hurt, from resentment. It's a work that God wants to do in us. It's an invitation to receive a broken and humbled heart that's able to forgive. So with that in mind, let's look at this gospel in four movements. And the first movement is that we see that there's a kind of problem that's presented. And it is the problem of having to forgive. Evidently, now, Peter's a good student. Peter was in school with Jesus, and Jesus is the teacher, and Jesus has been teaching about forgiveness. Now, Peter raises his hand. Jesus, how often do I really have to forgive? And then Peter thinks, I'm gonna be really smart and say, I should probably have to forgive as many as seven times. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But you know, Jesus takes Peter's answer and he says, listen, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven times. Some texts say 77 times. It's not the number. That's not the point. It's a Jewish way of speaking that says, lots, Peter. You just gotta keep forgiving. You see that there's really no limit. That you just, when you receive a new heart from me and I start to live my life in you, you're not going to ask questions like, how many times do I have to forgive before? That's enough and we're done with that now. First of all, church, you know, some of us who are older, I hope, know this more than the young people, but aren't you glad that God doesn't set limits on forgiveness right now? I've already used up my seven. Anyone else? Come on, church. Man, seven times, man, we need more than that, don't we? And you see, the vision is that the Lord is trying to draw us into his life. And the Lord has got to have a lot of patience and a lot of mercy in dealing like with someone like Charles Pope. And you just put your own name in the sentence. Peter, don't ask questions like how many times as much as seven. Peter, 70 times 70 times 7, 7, 7, 7. Just keep going, Peter. Just realize that when I put my heart in you, your capacity to forgive is going to grow and grow and grow. Now again, there are a lot of questions, though, that come up about forgiveness. Because you see, a lot of people today equate forgiveness with as if we should pretend that nothing ever happened. And so, for example, and because of that, we can feel very vulnerable when we're told to forgive. And we start to feel like, if I forgive someone, they're going to take advantage of me. They're going to not just harm me, but they're going to harm my family or my business or someone or something that I consider precious. And I can't just give a red carpet for people to walk in and use me or use my family. Are there no limits to forgiveness? Because we tend to think that forgiveness means we're going to pretend like nothing happened and we're going to just go back to business as usual. And so you get questions like, are you saying that a woman whose husband is physically abusing her should forgive him and let him back in the house just because he says, I'm sorry? Are you saying that a business owner who has had an employee that's been stealing should still put them in charge of the cash register just because they say, gee, I'm sorry that I stole $100,000? Are you saying, you see, that kind of idea? Because what happens is that we equate forgiveness with always just going back to business as usual. Now, a lot of times, that's what forgiveness does include, but not always. You see, there are just some people with whom we can't fully live in peace, or we can't live without some necessary boundaries, because they have shown time and time again that they're not able, for whatever reason, to live in a way that doesn't harm either me or some others who are depending on me. So forgiveness often does mean we'll just let bygones be bygones. But there are just times where we have to say, I forgive you, but until there can be some substantial changes, we can't just go back to the way things were. With that in mind, then, what is forgiveness? If it's not just go back to the way things were before the offense, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is letting go of the need to change the past. You know, sometimes I think we think, if I'm just angry enough, and I'm just bitter enough, and I'm just resentful enough, that's going to undo what happened. It isn't, isn't it? It's just not going to happen, is it? So forgiveness is letting go of the need to change the past. Now, what forgiveness is, and I just wrote a little description here. In effect, as I say, forgiveness is letting go of the need to change the past. To forgive might not always mean we can just simply return to the way things were. But it does mean, if we receive forgiveness from the Lord, it does mean that we're able to let go of resentments, of bitterness, of the desire for revenge, that we're able to let go of hatefulness, that we're able to set down those bowling balls of anger and resentment that we carry around. We're able to let go of that intense hostility and negativity of people who have sinned against us and have hurt us. And you see, it means then that we can even learn to start loving those who have harmed us. It means that we can begin to develop a compassionate heart that understands that sometimes people act terribly because they've been hurt, because they're struggling with something. And when compassion and understanding and love begin to grow in our heart, we may not be able to approve of what people do, and we shouldn't approve, but we begin to let go the anger, the hurt, the resentment, the bitterness that goes so often with being hurt. Forgiveness is a beautiful gift that we receive from God to set down the bowling balls of anger. You know, the word resentment means to think about something over and over and over and over and over again. That's pretty miserable, amen? And the Lord can break through that and give you a new mind and a new heart. You know, I always say, Lord, please give me a bad memory. It might sound like a strange thing to pray for, but you know, resentment means you never forget. You always remember every little detail. Oh, Lord, please. Thank you, Lord. And I'll just say he's been good. Some of you know I have a bad memory. And that's really a good thing when it comes to something like this. Just letting go of the need to change the past is a beautiful gift that we can ask from God and receive from God. So Peter says, how often should I have to forgive? He's trying to limit the gift that God wants to give him, which is a gift of a broken and humbled heart, a heart full of love and compassion. Why would you want to limit that? And that's how we learn to forgive. Now, let's look at the story then that the Lord tells. The Lord tells a story in this gospel, and it's a very interesting story. But the very first thing we see in the story is the poverty that is profound. And we got to spend a minute on this point. It goes like this. He says, there was a man who was brought into the king, and he began an accounting, and a debtor was brought before him who owed, it says here in the text, a huge amount. Now, the Greek text says he owed 10,000 talents. Now you say, well, so what does that mean? All right. And the Bible scholars all kind of debate about what exactly the amount is. But they all agree about this. It's a big amount. We're not talking about a few thousand bucks. We're talking millions and millions of dollars. 10,000 talents at the time of Jesus would be the kind of a, what we would call today, the national debt of a country. We know what that's like today, amen? What is it, like 10 trillion or something? Okay, you get the point, right? You're not going to work a little overtime or get a part-time job and solve this problem. You see, this guy owes, someone say millions. Millions. And millions. And millions. This guy owes lots of money. And again, no way, it says here in the text, could he repay it. I got news for you. This man is you. This man is me. Point to your neighbor and say, this man is you. You're the man. Not that kind of man. This is us. Understand something. And if you don't get this point, you won't get anything else. You have a debt that you can't pay. You can't even come close to paying it. We make light of sin today. We say, well, you know, no big deal. I'm basically a good person, you know. We make light of sin. We minimize it. But I got news for you. It is a debt so enormous, so awful, we could never hope to pay it. Because every sin, in effect, we put our finger in God's face and we say, I will not do it. I know you want me to do it, but I ain't doing it. And we say that to the God who made us, to the God who's all powerful, who's all holy, who is goodness itself. And because God is infinite, our offense is almost infinite as well. You can't pay that debt. Church, we need some mercy. We need boatloads of mercy. We've got to begin to understand how serious our condition is. And if we don't get this point, we're not going to get anything else. We have a debt, and we can't pay it. And you know what that means? You, without Jesus Christ, you are going to go to hell. It is very serious, the debt we have. And we don't just need a little mercy. We need tons of mercy. 10,000 talents of mercy. You can't do it. Some people think, I'm going to earn it. More spiritual push-ups. I'll go to daily mass, I'll say the chaplet, I'll say the rosary, I'll get to confession, I'll go and give money to the poor. You haven't even nibbled away at the first little ounce of it. Our debt is completely so huge we have no way of paying any of it, even a little bit of it. We can't pay it off. We're in desperate shape. Do you see the vision? Our poverty is profound. Now listen, until you grab hold of the bad news and really experience it, you really can't experience and understand the good news. Do you understand what the Lord has done for us? Not until you understand how desperate your situation is. But we live in a time where we don't look at that kind of stuff. We just say, well, I'm basically a good person, and I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And listen, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Or at least I'm not as bad as that person, or I'm not as bad as that prostitute over there in that corner. Well, listen, maybe you've got $500 and she's got 50. You may have a little more going on than she does. But you know what? The bill is $1 trillion. $500 toward $1 trillion. Don't even bother sending in the payment. The credit card company sending it back. It's not even close. We're in desperate shape. They say, someone might be saying over here, why does he keep repeating himself? We got to get this. I won't continue now, but I hope that we let this sink in. Because if we don't get this point, nothing else is going to make sense. So let's move on now. But please understand, you are the man who owes a huge amount and have no way of repaying it. And all we can do is fall down on our knees and say, mercy, Jesus. Mercy. Mercy. Someone over here say, mercy.
Mercy.
Someone say, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have
mercy. Oh, mercy, Lord. That's all we can say. That's our condition. Now, that brings us to the next point. We've seen the poverty that is profound. But now, we see a remarkable thing. The pity that is personal. Listen to what the text says. Moved with compassion. Ah, that's a nice word. Someone say compassion. Move with compassion. The king forgave the entire amount. It's okay to sigh. Move with compassion. The king waived the entire amount. Okay. If you've done your work, spent time realizing how great our debt is, that it's infinite and we can't repay it. Now come with me to the foot of the cross. Come with me to the foot of this cross. And brothers and sisters, one day it's going to finally dawn on us what the Lord has done for us. It's going to finally break through. Drop those 15 inches out of our brain and into our heart, our stony hearts. Break the hearts open, and light and love will pour in. Come with me to the foot of the cross and let it dawn on you that Jesus Christ died for you. Now, you see, the danger is, we say, oh, yes, I know he died for humanity. Humanity. No, guess what? I got news for you. He died for you. Notice again, I said the pity that's personal. Listen to the way this text emphasizes how personal this gift is. It says, move with compassion, the master of that servant. That means you. The master of that servant let him go free and forgave him the debt. All those words don't need to be added back in, but the gospel writer, St. Matthew, through the Holy Spirit, wants us to get the point. You not humanity. You have been forgiven the entire debt. We sing a song in this church often, a beautiful song by a very well-known composer. The song just says, just for me. He did all that just for me. And brothers and sisters, if we're going to be equipped to forgive others, you say, how can I learn to forgive? And it's impossible, and I'm so hurt, and I'm so angry, and what he's asking is unreasonable. How can I ever learn to forgive? Here's how. Your debt, meditate on your own debt. It's so huge you can never pay it. Now come to the foot of the cross. Let the Lord break through the hurt, the anger. Let him break open my heart of stone and let light and love and compassion and flow in. And when it finally begins to connect with me, what he's done for me, I become so grateful. I become so joyful. I become so moved with mercy and compassion and my experience of what he's done for me that I don't hate anybody anymore. I don't resent anybody. God's just been too good to me for me to focus on something negative that happened. And all that negativity just begins to melt away because what God has done for me is finally breaking through. It's changing my heart. The Lord is not saying to you and me today, you better go home and start forgiving people more. He's saying, come with me to the foot of the cross. Understand your debt and what I've done for you, and watch as I die for you and call out your name. Father, forgive him, forgive her. They don't know what they're doing. They're weak. Father, I love them. I love him. I love her. Forgive. Let me speak those words to your heart, says the Lord. And let him drop those 15 inches out of your brain into your heart. Let it really begin to melt your heart. And I'll equip you and empower you because you're going to be so filled with grace and gratitude and love. You won't want to hate anybody. And you'll forgive with joy. And you'll forgive with eagerness. And the things that used to hurt you won't. Do you see the vision? And so the Lord is saying today, not just forgive, but receive mercy. Experience forgiveness. And you'll be able to forgive. All right, see, the danger is that we turn something like forgiveness into a moralism, that somehow you, out of your own broken human nature, are going to go out and start forgiving. It'll last about 10 minutes, max. But if the Lord starts to break through and really live his life in us, and we go to the foot of the cross and we begin to powerfully experience his mercy, we can't help but show mercy because we'll be so moved and so changed. Are you praying with me? There's one last stage, and it's a sad story. This man was forgiven a huge amount. If you went to school and you were going to have to take a test and you said, oh, I forgot to study, and you knew you're going to probably get an F on it, and then the teacher said, I've canceled the test, wouldn't you be happy? Is that kind of excited? You'd think that this man would be so happy and so moved that he'd run and be forgiving to everybody. But you know the story. There was a fellow servant who owed him $500. This guy owed $1 trillion, and the king waived it. And some guy owes him $500, and he has him thrown into jail. You know what didn't happen? He didn't go to the cross, and he didn't experience what really happened to him. He made light of his debt. He said it was nothing. And he wasn't moved. And so the king called him back and said, listen, if you will not and you refuse to experience the mercy that I want to offer you, you can't live in heaven. You just can't go to heaven. The only way we're going to get home, brothers and sisters, is if we go to the foot of the cross and let the Lord give us a broken, humbled heart, a heart that's been broken, that stone heart broken open, and His life and His love and His glory shining into that heart. Until that happens, we can't go to heaven. And if we refuse it, we wouldn't even want to be in heaven. So the king calls him and says, until you can learn to receive mercy so that you can show mercy, you can't be in my kingdom. And he had to go off to jail. Now, the Lord therefore is saying to us, I have something very precious to give you today. And you can either decide to receive it, or you can cling to your anger and cling to your need for revenge, but the choice is yours. But one way leads to the kingdom of heaven, and the other way doesn't just lead to hell, you're already in hell to some extent. Because the anger and the hatred and the bitterness and the resentment is eating away at you right now like a cancer. You don't have to wait to go to hell, you're already getting the first hors d'oeuvres. So we have a choice. All right. Now, there's some text that I want to just remind you about. You heard a beautiful reading today that talks to us about it, but let me give you a few other texts that remind us that the Lord is warning us that we have to receive mercy and experiencing mercy be ready and able to share it with others. So here's what the Lord says, for example, in Matthew 6 and verse 14, for if you forgive men their sins, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their sins, your Father will not forgive you yours. Another text says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Another text says, do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Another text says, in the book of James, chapter 2, says, For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Now again, I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to need some mercy on the day of judgment. Are you? Well, the Lord has actually told us that we can have influence on the way He'll judge us. We can actually store up mercy for the day of judgment. Hello? I'm going to need all the mercy I can get. Amen? What an incredible thing to think that we can actually influence, because if we're judged with strict justice, I got news for you, you're going to hell. But if God brings mercy, now we stand a chance, amen? So, if we learn to receive mercy, and out of that merciful heart that we receive to show mercy to others, we're already on the way to the kingdom, and we're going to be all right on the day of judgment. And the final one I want to read to you, it was beautifully read today already, but let me read part of it again from the book of Sirach, because it's powerful. Listen carefully again. It says here, the vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, and He will remember their sin in detail. Uh-oh. Woo. Do you want the Lord to remember your sins in detail? I'm praying, Lord, that you will forget. You have a bad memory. All right. The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, and He will remember their sin in detail. Oh, forgive your neighbor's injustice so that when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. Can anyone nourish anger against someone else and then expect healing from the Lord? Can anyone refuse mercy to someone and then seek pardon for his own sins? Remember your last days. Set all this anger aside. Remember death and cease from sin. And think of the commandments and don't hate your neighbor. Remember the Most High and your day of judgment and overlook faults. So again, the Lord is just saying, please, He says, my people, let me give you a merciful heart, a heart that's been, a stone heart that's been broken open, a broken, humbled heart. where my love and my life and my mercy rush in, and you begin to experience gratitude, and you begin to experience joy. And because of a joyful, merciful, grateful heart, you're just equipped to forgive others. But my people, if you won't accept this gift from me, you can't live in the kingdom. And you're already on your way to hell. Don't go around carrying these bowling balls of anger, of resentment, of hatred. Let me do it, says the Lord. It's my work in you, and I promise you, I can give you a new heart. You may think it's impossible to forgive what someone did to you. You may not be able to ever live in peace again with that person because they won't make peace with you. But in the end, I will take away from you your hurt, your anger, your bitterness, your fear. I will do this for you, says the Lord. Let me do it, because if I don't, you might not show mercy. And I'll have to judge you with strict justice, because that's your choice. And if I do, you won't make it. Let me work now, says the Lord. Beautiful old song that came to mind as I was putting the notes together, and I'll just finish with it. It's a beautiful old song. I haven't heard it in a while. Maybe we'll hear it later. The song says, "Your grace and your mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment, Lord, because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through." Only grace and mercy, church. If you want to deal with the throw the book at them and the strict justice, look out, because you're going to be in trouble too, because the measure that you measure to others will be measured to you. But if you want grace and mercy, God gives it in abundance, and he's offering it right now and putting it in your heart. You'll be able to give it to others, and then you're in the kingdom. Amen.